Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And welcome once again to Sex and the City Watch Party with Sminty.
Yes.
Here we go. We are on episode 10.
We've made some progress of the 94 episodes.
You know what? We're closing in to season one.
Okay.
So we're getting there. Mm-hmm. You scored a 0 in the last episode.
I did. It's okay. It stinks.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. That's the lowest possible score you could ever get, but that's okay. It's okay.
Is it?
It's fine. It's fine. So can you give us a little revamp of what just happened?
A revamp.
Is that the word?
I think you mean recap, but I love revamp.
Revamp it, baby. Okay.
Revamp would be, it turns out they're all vampires. So, yes, we've had a lot of conversations about sex, vibrators, single women, the female body, relationships, and particularly like hiding somebody in a relationship, or settling, married women versus single women. We've met Big, who is the big love interest for Carrie. They're having a lot of conversations about, a lot of dramatic conversations, yeah. I gotta say,
yeah.
About marriage, and she felt like she was hiding him. He'd been married before, been divorced.
Yeah.
So we're setting up this relationship. I feel like we're closing in on the season finale, which you've really built up, but I have no idea what's going to happen. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's pretty good. Revamping.
Yeah. But look out for my Sex and the City fan fiction that's all about vampires.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. I love it.
Yes.
Please someone do this.
Yes.
Is it already existing?
It
let us know.
Does.
Let us know. Okay, so we have episode 10 coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our happy hour.
Yes.
Just so y'all know, look behind the curtains. We are recording some of these back to back. In our episode 9, I had created a champagne cocktail called the Blackberry Mosa.
Mm-hmm.
We have moved on for the second round.
Yes.
And as always, drink responsibly if you choose to drink. Because as Annie can attest to, even caffeine may be too much for peoples.
I am very sensitive to caffeine, everybody. Very sensitive indeed.
Yes. But yes, and we're not sponsored, if that's the question. We were sponsored at one point in time for one of the episodes for And Just Like That.
Yes.
Which apparently has a season 2 coming out.
I'm very intrigued to see how that happens.
I'm very shocked that it happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll talk about this later.
Okay.
We had to do predictions.
Okay.
But we are on episode 10, season 1. And the title, Annie, of this is The Baby Shower.
Ooh.
Will you tell me what you predict for this?
Very obvious. It feels like they go to a baby shower.
And
they talk about having kids. Much in the same way they talked about marriage and settling in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, it's the kid discussion.
Okay, very good. All right, so y'all, are you ready? to begin this episode. Here we go.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's that hell on earth that only your closest friends can inflict on you. The baby shower.
You cannot drag me to that thing if you put a grappling hook in my mouth.
I have never once been to a baby shower.
Oh, you haven't? I'm about to
go to one. I've been invited to one, but I've never gone.
Oh, that's right. So mm-hmm. I've been to several, but I've got one coming up in April.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Typically, I've been just sending gifts.
Yeah, I have done that. I've sent gifts, but then I don't show up. Yeah. Do you think they want you to show up? Maybe they just want the gift.
I think it's according to who it is.
Okay.
Oh, I did a baby shower on Zoom.
Oh, that's right. You did.
Yeah. Super awkward.
I'm sure it was. Most things on Zoom are.
Yes.
Samantha and Lainey had a long-standing rivalry. Both wild, both sexy, both incredibly insecure.
I was talking about this with my friend the other day about how you go through this, or we went through this period in college where you would be dancing on the table at like parties, or you take your shirt off and walk around. And it's just like a phase we went through and it's over.
I don't think I ever did that. I never stood on a table dance.
Oh.
I've never taken my shirt off.
Oh, I took my shirt off.
Oh, damn.
Had a nice red bra. Oh,
I never did that. I lost, I guess, in this cool
count. I don't think it's cool. I mean, if you want to do it.
If you're hip and cool, then yes, you do that. For me, not so much.
I've lost two sisters to the motherhood. I know what
okay.
I'm talking about.
This is a big conversation. So okay. We talked a little bit about child-free life and versus like having children. Mm-hmm. The conversation is there a battle between, like, do you lose your friends once they have children?
Yeah.
It is such a sticky subject.
Yeah.
Because I have really good friends that who have kids, but yes, I've definitely lost friends after they had kids.
Yeah. And I know we talked about this in a previous one, but it is, like, it makes sense to me. It's sad. You know, there's a part of you that's like, oh, this is ending. But it makes sense. Like, you move into a separate phase of your life, and now you've got a kid and it's taking up all your time and energy. Right. Like, that makes sense to me.
Right.
But it is kind of like, oh no, we probably won't see each other as much anymore.
Right. Especially after child number two, number three.
Yeah.
It obviously become like, it's hard for you, and that's understandable. Mm-hmm. I could come and see you, but it's going to be very, like, Right. Either we were going to have to be very intense and very intentional about these visits. So, like, you get an hour of a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Or it just, and then it gets a little too, like, harder when you start, like, having your own job or, like, move to a separate place or travel a lot. It's that whole thing.
Yeah. My last friend who invited me to a baby shower, she called me and sat me down. She was like, sit down. I'm having twins. And I remember being like so happy for her, but thinking like,
that's the end. Aww.
And it was, but she also lived like 50 minutes away. Right. That's a part
of
the conversation.
This is part of the thing is like a lot of my friends that I knew from college have settled outside of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I live in Atlanta. I don't see them as much. Mm-hmm. Anybody with children over, like over two children is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And who focus their life into being a mother is beautiful,
mm-hmm.
but it's very different places.
Yeah.
You become two different people, essentially.
Yeah.
And so it feels like.
I mean, and I've had friends who I've managed to, like, we've stayed close and I've met, like, met their kids and their kids are super nice. So it's not, like, impossible, right. but it makes sense to me that it's harder.
Right.
And you're just in different places of what you're thinking about and what your life is.
Ready, girls? Let's go.
I do love that they come in as a posse and the cool city kids coming into the suburbia.
You and I were just talking about this, Samantha. Like, you've got to have your crew when you're going to a party.
Right, yes.
Somebody you're going to show up with.
Yes. So it's really funny that they're all in black and sleek, and then they show up to the suburbia, and the woman who they're coming to see is in pastels.
Yes. Also, I love Samantha's wearing like a an interesting halter crop
she
top
did this
situation.
On purpose. She wanted to show off her flat tummy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's always strange too. Those kind of comments like, "Oh, I've moved on to a better place.
I've grown up."
Yeah, exactly.
You're still living in that young lifestyle that you don't fit into anymore. And to be fair, I feel that.
Yeah, no, I do too.
Like what? Like the life that I have versus the life that my sister, or my siblings had at my age are so different.
Yes.
I love my son. Andy is 11 months old. He is a god, and I tell him so every day.
I will say in this level, 1990s, early 2000s, especially 90s, it kind of started the whole, like, participation trophy level of, like, we need to encourage all the kids that they are the best.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that coddling level. It went past the boomer where you, like, disciplined everybody to hell and back. And then it was abusive. And, like, keeping your children in line to coddling and absolutely telling them they're the best and you can be anything you want and all these things. Like, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true, you know, to where we are today.
Yeah, I
which
believe.
Which is still not wonderful, but I'm just like, huh.
I told the story before. My mom, one time, we were on a walk, and she was like, I'm going to tell you the truth. The American dream, you can't. Not everybody can succeed. And I was like, damn.
Thanks, Mom. But yeah, this kind of is that level of, like, if you have the perfect house and, like, seemingly, like, you can have the perfect life, and you are the most amazing child. Yes.
Even 7 months pregnant, Lainey couldn't keep her clothes on. Clearly, a part of the old Lainey
I just
survived.
Got distracted by a portrait of this woman pregnant.
Naked. Above the bathroom.
Above the bathroom in her own house. I mean, where else are you going to put it, I guess?
I was gonna say, you know the pregnancy photos?
Yeah,
kind of that
right.
And they can be amazing. They did this as a caricature of that, I'm
sure. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily... Like, true. Obviously, this is not a depiction of the good things. But, like, this is definitely during that era of falling into the American dream was being a mother.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah.
Man, I went to a party like this once, too, where I was the only single person. And it became very clear that they all thought, in the most benign, nice way, that I needed to.
Yeah.
I just had to find the right person and move on. It's like,
I've been to a few parties where it was like I was a single person to a couple party.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I've been also excluded from parties that I'm like, I know everyone there, but I can't come because I don't have a someone, which is obviously like one of the weirdest things. Like, why is that such a thing? Like, I was friends with you. Like, y'all can't talk to people separately.
Right.
It has to be coupled up. Like,
yeah,
it's such a weird concept to me. But this is kind of that era as well. Like the perfect hood, like being an adult means, which is what we were like, what is this? Because we came out of that era.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, and for me specifically, like, with my own family, seeing that as a constant thing, you need to be married by 21.
Mm-hmm.
Start having children by 24.
Yep.
Get that giant house in the suburbs with the perfect school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like I've had friends who made it. It almost felt like they were trying to justify to me like the opposite thing. Like they weren't partying anymore and they weren't doing this stuff. But my life is so good now and I love it. Yeah. I'm like, if it is, there's no judgment on my end. Like,
right.
If you're happy, that's great. There's no part of me that's like, oh, you're not going to club anymore. Oh.
Right, right.
But they
right.
felt like they had to justify themselves to me right. or something.
And again, when things like that happen, that's what puts the strain of like, oh yeah, we're very different mm-hmm. and this is going to be awkward.
Right.
I can't believe you're freaking out over a name.
I mean, you're not even pregnant.
That's not the point.
What's going on?
She stole my baby name.
You bitch. Let's go.
So this is one of the also classic tales. Did you have this conversation? I picked out a child's name.
Oh, yeah. I had three children's names.
And but I shared them with friends, and I'm like, you can't use these names.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had that.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that's that. The tragic women against women battle of like, but then you stole it?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? Even though I may never have those children.
Yeah, so Charlotte told this woman her baby name, the name she wanted to give to her future baby, and she named that. That's her name she picked out.
She may, yeah.
Yeah, and Charlotte's very upset and says, oh, I should have had a baby earlier.
Baby showers always leave feeling depressed.
Baby showers always leave feeling depressed.
Is that your experience?
No, I'm really just grateful to get the fuck out. I also hate all showers and weddings and such. I don't love them.
Yeah.
There's only been one or two that I've actually really liked.
Yeah. My cousin invited me to hers, and we were not close. Like, not close at all.
Yeah.
But I was so flattered. I was, like, in high school, and she gave me some wine. But it felt like such a pity invite. Like, somebody pressured her to invite me.
What are you going to do? You going to tell Mr. Big?
No, I am not going to tell him until I know what I... Until I know how I... What?
Gray area. Did you have a moment that you thought you were pregnant at any point?
No. Only when I went to the gynecologist and he was like, you're pregnant. But that would have been like a... I would have been like Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
that would have been a miracle.
Yeah.
Or just, I don't know. But
like a complete weirdness. Yeah.
Yes. That's the only time. I've actually never bought a pregnancy test. I've never taken one outside of the gynecologist.
I have taken one because I'm paranoid, but I've never really been.
Mm-hmm.
I have taken Plan B mm-hmm. a couple of times just in cases because I'm like, yeah, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, not really to that level that I'd come with, I think I'm pregnant.
Yeah. I had a friend once. We were doing our like annual getaway with our group, and she said to me, you know, I took a pregnancy test, but it came back negative, but I just think I'm pregnant. And sure enough, a month later,
really?
She was pregnant.
Dang. Mm-hmm.
Sweetie, I just spent $395 on a pair of open-toed Gucci's last week. This is not the place to be frugal.
All right.
Well, what about this one?
Oh, first response. I remember first response. I had a very reassuring moment once with first
so
response.
So she's now buying pregnancy tests and condoms, just in case. With a here's hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because I think, when was it? They started putting all those things behind the shelves, like behind glass.
Yes.
You have to request them. It feels like a whole different level, but I think people were stealing it out of shame.
Oh.
Yeah. People were like shoplifting it
yeah.
because it was like a shame thing. So they would rather shoplift than actually buy it.
Yeah.
So it was high targeted. But also there's still like a level of like, why? You have to ask and request it.
Yeah.
That's such a level.
or like a level of judgment and stigma around it.
Right.
A lot of these, in heavy quotes, feminine products.
Condoms, too, are behind.
Condoms. And I feel like buying, like, tampons and pads, they're not behind the counter, but it's still very, like...
Shame factor. Mm-hmm. You're trying to hide it behind things.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would purposefully find the... If there's a woman cashier, I would go to her and not
too.
The man.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
See, Samantha did something only Samantha could do. She threw an I don't have a baby shower to let everyone know she was fabulous.
Great to see you.
So Sam being Sam decides to be throwaway I'm not a pregnant party party. Which, to be fair, again, this is my whole thing about, like, I'm not getting married. Still, I need to I'm not getting married shower.
We will throw you a party. Oh, she showed up.
The pregnant girl showed up to Sam's party.
Oh, that's... Ooh.
And she's trying to pretend like it's 1980s. But I also like her outfit went from pastels to black leather.
Yes.
When she came to the city. Yeah.
She saw them at the baby shower and was like, I gotta get them this Matrix posse.
Look, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but what is your problem?
My problem? Just that I had a dream and you killed it in a nutshell.
Really? Well, then you're lucky because at least you know what happened to your dream.
I have absolutely no idea what happened to mine.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
There's a whole level to this of, like, glamorizing single life, which I think I was grateful for, because during that time, that wasn't necessarily the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it unrealistic? Mm. Absolutely. But it kind of was nice to see, as a person who never dated through high school and even in college, to see that. Like, yes, I will come into my prime in my 30s, yeah? It did not work out that way.
Well, I mean, it's nice to have a different narrative, even though ultimately they're still trying to find men.
Right.
Amen. It's and nice also, to see them, like, friends, single friends together.
Right. But at the same time, also, it's like, you don't have to sh** on the other lifestyle to make your lifestyle feel better. Which is, I don't think they necessarily are doing that, but they're definitely not putting marriage or people who are having children in their 30s in a great light, or late 20s in a great light.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like you said, it's a caricature of her as, like, this pregnant woman that we should be laughing at and be judging and,
and feeling bad for. And now, because she wants to live her old lifestyle, even though she's pregnant, is trying to show off her boobs.
And tried to make a drink just a second ago.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you shouldn't have to do that to feel validated.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, then you do you.
Yeah.
But if this is, like, this level of, like, reliving, that's the other question is it sad to relive? Or is it okay? The glory days.
Yeah.
If there was such a thing.
Yeah.
There are things that I miss.
Yeah.
That I wish I could go back on and relive again.
Mm.
There are things that I'm okay with not doing ever again.
Yeah.
And then, like, but, so we talked about this a little bit in our parentification about, like, doing rituals that seem childlike, but it brings us to comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The flashing people.
Yeah.
And all of that, and living that. That lifestyle, rock party lifestyle.
Rock party.
Yeah,
so you're the coolest.
I'm the coolest 50, 60, 70-year-old here. I'm just playing. But, like, all of those things, like, is it that's such a bad thing if it's not harming anyone?
I've thought about this as a cosplayer.
Yeah.
Because we have those comments of, like, she should not be wearing that. Her body isn't right, or she's too old. And I want to, I think I mentioned it recently, but I want to come back and do an episode on problematic insults that I think have a legitimacy in them, but they're problematic.
Right.
But also, I've been thinking about this too, because there are a lot of conversations. If you flip the gender, then we would have different reactions. And one thing I did that I really regret doing is I once had an audition that had a kiss in it. And I kissed the guy. And afterwards, the casting director was like, you never do that. Like, that's, because it's... I didn't get consent. We just kissed. But I read it in the script, and I thought I was young, and I thought, oh, that means we have to kiss. And I feel so bad about it. But things like women flashing.
Right.
If men did that, we'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But it's just totally different, like, mindset. And there's a lot of intricacies and nuances in that.
Right.
But just saying, like, I have been thinking about that lately.
Well, we just also, you and I talked about this in that adults going to things like Disneyland and that whole like, because we talked about that, it's like child free and what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people's fantasy growing up was to go to things like Disneyland, Disney World, and could not afford it. Their parents could not afford it. So they and themselves were able to do so. Mm-hmm. They loved Disney movies. They loved Disney movies, but didn't get to live that life to see. And then being able to do that as an adult and being shamed for it because it's like, this is for kids. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. And it is that level of like going back and reliving or hoping to relive a memory that you loved in this aspect. Mm-hmm. And the fact that when it comes down to it, Disney money, Disney costs are not children costs. You know what I mean? Like, it is not affordable for people with children typically, and it's not affordable for children at all. So like that is not, that there's this like layer of like, that's wonderful that you have the privilege to take your kid. Mm-hmm. Why are you shaming those whose family couldn't do that? And so they're doing it for themselves.
Right.
That's the level. Is there problematic where like influencers go to do like a video bit and take up space to like film for 3 hours at a time instead of just enjoying the park? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And also like possibly jeopardizing the jobs of the employees there. That is hugely problematic. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about those who truly love Annie, who will take 2 days to plan an entire day to love the park that she loves, to enjoy everything about it, to sit there and literally tear up after a ride that she had been so excited about that we knew that it may take 3 hours to get to. But the joy on your face was worth everything. Like, that's what it's for.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I feel like we make this point all the time, but I stick by it. Like, if you're not bothering anybody, if I am doing my own thing and I'm not messing with you, then I don't see what the problem is with me having like my child at heart.
Yeah.
Having this moment. And it is, I mean, we talked about it briefly in a Monday mini where we were talking about the pressure of especially women and mothers to plan this perfect trip, and it's so expensive and there's all this expectation on it. It's just stressful for everybody.
Right.
But if you go as an adult and you have money and it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's nice. And that's the thing is like, we can't hold that over our parents' head because they couldn't afford it.
No, and they're trying to make,
like, yeah, there was four of us. There were four children, two adults. Two adults is like $2,000, essentially. Yeah. So I can't imagine outside of that. And then food and all of these things. And then kids begging for things. Like, and nothing they have there is cheap.
No.
So we should be talking about why that's so not affordable. But that's a whole different conversation. But to allow people the joy to do these things. But again, not the same thing what we're talking about in the Sex and the City. Because she was trying to relive her days. And to the point that it's okay to grow out of it. It's okay to be uncomfortable today of like the things. You're not going to stand up on top of a table showing off your red bra anymore.
Yeah.
If you did, you do you. as long as you're in an environment that is consented.
Yes.
But like all of those things is like, okay, it's not bad to relive your past. I miss some of the things in college. I don't miss all the things. I think we did have a reunion and it wasn't wonderful. One of them wasn't, but some of the others were. And that's great. We grow apart. That makes me sad. But that's also what it is. Like, what does that look like today? If you, I mean, and it's hard, especially if you live in a completely different city, completely different area, have completely different schedules. That makes it a little harder. And it doesn't mean that it makes it, like, I just saw a good friend of mine that I don't see more than once every year, maybe, or maybe sometimes every 2 years. But it's beautiful when I get to see them.
Yeah.
And I don't talk to them every day. I might talk to them once a month.
Yeah.
But it's still wonderful when we come back together. Like, there's sadness to it. But there's still, it's not as bad. And again, like, I think as much as, I think Sex and the City did an amazing job for me as a person who didn't necessarily, who did want to seek relationships. So that felt like something to do. I felt like an end goal that was like, oh, this seems nice to have.
Yeah.
But at the same time, being able to be happy with my friends and being single, to advertise that as like, this is an okay thing.
Right.
And glamorize it and make me feel like I could do this. Was a whole different thing.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Because I think the main relationship here is between these characters. Yeah. And so there's like men that come and go, but they're the main sturdy relationship. And I think that's beautiful and that's important. It's like you can want to have that man or whatever, what have you, that you're looking for, but you got your group and you don't like abandon them, leave them alone, even if your relationship changes.
Yeah.
Because I also have friends, like I can go a year and then we talk, we might not even talk about anything really relevant in our lives, but it's just easy to pick up.
Right.
And it's great. And then we'll wait a next year. Like,
right.
There's a sadness to it, as you said, but there's also just a, it's kind of how life goes. And you can look back fondly and there's things you miss and things you won't miss.
As I used to say, like, seasons, friends come through seasons, and it's a perfect season. And it may not be forever, mm-hmm. but it's still nice.
Yeah. To enjoy things while you can.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
All right, Annie, you got a much higher score on this one. At the very least, you did talk about children. There was a baby shower. Like, I will give you all of those things, like, in the comparison of women and children versus women's singlehood. I will give you in my score of 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Okay? Nice. Better than 0. I think I did the percentage before. So,
yeah, you did. I like that you're switching
here. I'm going to give you stars sometimes. It's going to happen. I'm going to give you a smiley face, frowny face, slight face.
Yes.
Today is 8 out of 10. Good job.
Yes.
Made up for the 0.
Great. Whew. I'm very competitive, so this is exciting. All right. Well, we'll see what happens in the next one. In the meantime, listeners, if you enjoyed this, or if you might want to be involved, because we were looking at having some listener involvement in these, please let us know. Our email is stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram at Stuff I've Never Told You. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Christina.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I've Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta. right now. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.